What do we think? Can you relate to any of that? The craziness, the madness that can happen? Show of hands, of the stressful things, where are my snow people at? Snow? A little stressful? Driving in the snow? A little stressful? How about shopping? Everyone's like, we shop online. It's like the least stressful thing on the planet. Does anybody go out to Black Friday? Anyone? Real brave? Hey, all right. Real brave. Nice. Nice. How about family? Drama? They're sitting next to you, so it's a little awkward, but it's okay. But the challenges, the family, all these things. No shortage of stress. I'm stressed being up here. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Lots of stuff up here, you know. I think we can all relate. This time of year, the craziness, the busyness, financial pressures, the expectations, no shortage of stress. And so we're kicking off our Christmas series today, The Blank That Stole Christmas, and that blank today is stress. It's wild to me that when you're out and about shopping or listening to music or giving people cards or decorating our homes, the language of the season is joy and peace and comfort. And yet, too often, most of us feel the exact opposite. Stress. The burden of everything that is going on. And I'm not surprised at all. As Andrea shared, John 10:10, there is a thief. And that thief wants to steal from us. And I think in this season, he's working extra hard. Another show of hands. Where are the folks that when this season's approaching, Christmas is coming. It's all joy and peace. Oh, it's got to be. Hey, we got a couple. No? How about stress as it shows up, where it's nothing but stress? No hands either. How about a little bit of both mixed together? There's the hands, right? I think that's how it is for most of us. A little bit of both. No shortage of stressful things that are happening, but there's peace through it. We're not promised stress-free circumstances, but we are promised the key to overwhelming peace, even in that stress. So what we're going to do today is we're going to zoom in on the Christmas story, specifically a few key moments of Mary and Joseph and what they went through on their journey and their calling and bringing forth the Messiah. And I think when we go through these bits of scripture, you're going to see a theme. You're going to see stress in the situation, but peace from the Lord. In every moment, we're going to see stressful things, very stressful things. But the Lord will be there, offering peace all throughout. So we want to start with talking through Mary's experience when she heard what she was called to do and what was going to happen. So Luke 1, 26 through 38. I'm going to read the whole thing and then we'll talk about it. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Do you see the tension in there? No shortage of stress in the situation, but peace from the Lord. Let's break it down a little bit. So in the stress, the angel of the Lord shows up I think that could potentially be a stressful situation. Keep in mind, it's been 400 years. 400 years of silence, not hearing from the Lord. And yet, here she is presented with Gabriel. I think that could be stressful. And even in the greeting, she's unsure, trying to discern what kind of greeting is this going to be. So this angel approaches her, and she's like, what is this about? And he says, I'll tell you what this is about. You're going to have a baby. Stressful? Maybe. As a virgin? Maybe. But not just any baby. This baby will be the Son of the Most High. This baby will be the Son of God, who will reign forever on David's throne. I don't know about you, but I think that would be pretty stressful. But there was peace in there as well. Stress in the situation and peace from the Lord. A peaceful greeting. Oh, favored one, the Lord is with you. Reassuring her when she's not sure what this is all going to be about. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. This is all through the power of the Holy Spirit. You won't be alone. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And if that spiritual reassurance isn't enough, you won't be alone in this physically either. Your relative Elizabeth is also with child. Though she is late in years and was considered barren, she's going to also have a son. How is this possible? Because nothing is impossible with God. He says, Mary, you have found favor with God. He is with you. His power is upon you. And with him, nothing is impossible. So for Mary, in a stressful calling, Mary found peace and assurance. In a stressful calling, Mary found peace and assurance. As stressful as the situation was, seeing the angel, being told what she was going to go through, and the magnitude of the child that she was going to bring forth. Even in that stress, she rested in the powerful promises and submitted to the Lord's will. Now, Joseph had his own version of the experience, right? We find this in Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, we know what that means, kids, ask your parents, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. So again, the same theme, stress in the circumstances, but peace from the Lord. Put yourself in that situation as Joseph. They had not yet been together and Mary is pregnant. What is he to think? That she's being unfaithful. What else could he possibly think? So he's carrying the stress and the burden of what that could mean. And why that was happening. But in addition to just processing through what he thinks is infidelity, being a just man, not wanting to put her to shame, he now has to process through, how do I divorce her quietly? He doesn't want to divorce her. He knows the position on that. That's not God's desire. So he has to process through that. But she's being unfaithful. I have to do this, but I don't want to shame her. It needs to be quiet. What a stressful situation. And we know this because it said he was considering these things. He was chewing on these things, this situation that was put upon him. And then the weight of the Savior in the dream, he will save his people from their sins. So his version of understanding the gravity of what this is. But just like Mary, in the stressful situation, peace shows up from the Lord. The same assurance, do not fear, Joseph. For this is from the Holy Spirit. It's not what you thought. This is from God. And he was given very clear directions. You ever faced with a decision? You're like, Lord, show me the way. Give me a sign. Where are the blinking lights? And that rarely shows up. In this situation, don't be afraid. Take her as your wife and raise the child. Very clear direction, reassuring him. And as if that wasn't enough, recalling Scripture. Joseph would know Scripture. He would know the prophecy. And so hearing this is all happening exactly as you have read about. When you read it, that's this. That's this moment. And Joseph obeyed. He did as the angel commanded. So like Mary, assured by the power of the Lord, Joseph was obedient and found peace. So for Joseph, faced with a stressful decision, he found peace in obedience. Faced with that stressful decision weighing on him, he found peace in being obedient to the Lord. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and I think we can assume he found peace in that. So we know what happens from here. I'm going to summarize because we'd be here all day long, as nice as that would be. We don't want to go out there. It's really snowy. But we know what happens, and the same theme continues throughout. Stressful situations, but peace always showing up from the Lord. As if it wasn't enough what Mary and Joseph just went through. You're going to have a baby. It's the Son of God. Brace yourself. Oh, by the way, there's a decree from Caesar that you have to be registered. Really now? At this time? Added stress. And it's not like they get to go to the local clerk's office or the DMV. They have to travel to Joseph's hometown. Pop quiz. Anybody know the distance between Nazareth and Bethlehem? 90 miles, 90 that they had to travel on foot, take a week on a great set of circumstances. And Mary was pregnant. How pregnant? By the time they got there, it was time to have a baby. As soon as they get there, she needs to give birth. No hospital, no room at the inn, no place to stay. So they take shelter with the animals and she gives birth to the Savior of the world. All that stress. What a stressful journey. We can't even process that level of stress. All my kids were born in the hospital, and I was still stressed out of my mind. And I love them to death, but they're not the Savior of the world. So much stress. But they found peace from the Lord in what? The fulfillment of exactly what the Lord promised. She gave birth. And it doesn't elaborate, but we have to know that she knew when she held him and saw him who he was. And that had to have brought her peace. Now, a ways away, there were shepherds out in the field tending to their flock. And what happened? Had to have been a stressful situation. An angel of the Lord shows up. Again, it's been a long time. And they're just minding their own business, tending to the sheep. And an angel shows up, gives them this announcement, the birth of Christ, the Savior into the world, with an all-angel band that shows up and just starts singing. Had to have been an awesome but stressful situation. What is this and what is happening? But in those exact circumstances, there had to have been peace as well. And we know there was. They got the same reassurance. What does the angel say? Fear not. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that multitude of angels show up and they're singing glory to God in the highest. Had to have been jarring, stressful. We're just trying to do our jobs here. But then what a thing to hear and experience and witness. So they travel and they travel to see what they were told about. I have to see this. I have to see what this is about. So they travel to see Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they do. And they see it happened. Here is the child, the Savior, Christ the Lord. And Mary and Joseph there also, exhausted, no doubt, but sitting there with Jesus. And so they respond. Luke 2:19-20. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So in stressful circumstances, all those stressful circumstances, that journey and that amazing thing that happened, and no room in the inn, and having to go in with the animals and giving birth in that situation, in those stressful circumstances, they found peace in God's glory. In the end, seeing the result, the outcome, the glory of the Lord shone through this amazing thing that had happened just as it had been foretold. Everything they went through, they praised God and found peace, which is a model for us to emulate, to see God's glory. But I want to get specific. I want to get practical. I don't know if you're like me, but when it comes to my stress, I need tools. I need tips. I need action steps, things that I can do immediately to take action. Okay? And I believe in this view of the story, we find a formula for reducing stress in this season and reclaiming our peace. And the key is in the stress. Okay? The English language is one of the hardest to learn because our words have different meanings. Okay? It's unique to us. Stress is one of those words. Stress can be a noun. I have stress. It is a thing. I have stress in my life. That is stress as a noun. But it can also be a verb. To stress something. Or to stress the importance of something. Now, preachers love this because it's a play on words, and we love a play on words. And rhymes and all those sorts of things. So when it comes to holiday stress, we have a problem. And that problem is that in the stress of the season, we can fail to stress the importance of the reason. In the stress of the season, we can fail to stress the importance of the reason. We all know the saying, Jesus is the reason for the season. We have greeting cards that say that. We have signs that say that. We say it to each other. But do we really stress it enough in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts? Do we? Or do we just say it? Yeah, Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's not forget. We have all these things. Let's not forget. This is about you. No, really. Think of Mary's words or what it says about Mary. She treasured these things, this reality. So the solution to overcome stress in your life, re-stress or overstress the importance of your life in Christ. Your life in Christ outweighs the stresses in your life if we give it the emphasis and the importance and the stress that we need. Because in all of our circumstances, Jesus is our peace from the Lord. Amen? So we should emulate Mary and Joseph. They kept their eyes fixed on their mission, fixed on Jesus. For them, it was bringing him into the world. For all of us, this season and every season, it's celebrating the very real fact that they did. He was born. He lived a perfect life and gave it up for you and for me. Think of that for a second. That is the answer to our stress this season, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Can we go deeper? I think we can go deeper. I think we can get even more practical here. In what we just walked through, we not only get the what, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus this season, we also get the how. I think when we look at it this way, we're given a formula to reclaim our peace. And it's through those same three points: assurance, obedience, and God's glory. So let's look at them one at a time. The first one, we can reclaim our peace through the assurance of salvation. Reclaim our peace through the assurance of salvation. 1 Peter 1:8 through 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. A life in Christ means salvation. Our belief, our faith, the outcome is salvation. Brothers and sisters, we've been saved. Do you understand that? Do you rest in that? Do you stress the importance of that in your life? We were dead, and now we live. Alive in Christ Jesus, no longer dead to our sin. And we will not die. We live forever. This body will go, but it's replaced with a perfect, immortal one when all things are made new. Stressed about finances? You were bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ bought you. Stressed about family? You're a child of God, brought into His holy and eternal family. When was the last time you treasured these things? Truly pondered them in your heart? Didn't just say them or think them or just brush them off as this thing that's in the wings somewhere? At the very center of your existence and being is this reality that you have been saved and you are loved and you have new life today and you will be with Him in eternity forever. Put that up against any stress in your life. It won't go away, but I promise you it will feel lighter. I promise you. So I said we get practical. How do we do this? What does that mean? Prayer. How's your prayer life? This season of all seasons, dial it up. Spend time with the Lord. Go somewhere quiet. Close the door. Before you even say anything, I'm trying to learn this better myself. Before you even say anything, picture the scene. Picture being in His presence. Is He on His throne? Are His arms wrapped around you? Is it Jesus wrapped around you, saying, I've got you. Don't worry. I have you. I am with you. Spend time in prayer and Scripture. Spend time in Scripture this season. It's busy. I know that. There's so much going on. We're probably all sleep deprived. But find time in His Word. Read it. Open the New Testament. It's going to talk about salvation in there. It will. So open it up. And if you're curious, if you read 40 chapters a day, which is a lot, you can get through the entire New Testament in a week. I know many of you are wrapping up your year, which is amazing. But if you haven't started, if that's not really what you've done, and you want to take on this challenge, 40 chapters a day, you can get through it in a week. I've done it. It's a blessing. It's amazing. But it's intense. You don't have to do that. You have longer than a week. You have four. You could slow it down or find a devotional. Find something that's squared, focus square on salvation, your redemption, on what it means that Jesus came and lived and died. Make it a point this season. If you've had a bad track record this year, it's been a tough year, you haven't spent much time in the Word, do it this month, leading up to Christmas. It's definitely not too late. Prayer and Scripture. Next one. We can reclaim our peace through the obedience of faith. Reclaim our peace through the obedience of faith. Our faith in Christ produces obedience to His Word out of our love for Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. What commands? Well, let's summarize them the way that He summarized them. Matthew 22:37-39. And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first command. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When was the last time you focused on your love for your Heavenly Father? For that salvation, for all that He's done for you. When was the last time that you just were affectionate with Him and focused on how much you love Him, how much He means to you, and the reality that we can do that because of Jesus Christ? Is it with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, your entire being, loving our Heavenly Father? This is what we're commanded to do, but I challenge, what a gift that we get to. We get to love Him because He first loved us. And we're called to love one another. So getting practical, more prayer. Rest with the Father, thankful for salvation, but it's a two-way conversation. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how grateful you are for the blessings that He's given you. We are blessed, amen? Tell Him. Spend time with Him in fellowship and serving. If you're like me, I'm introverted. This season, with everything that's going on, I don't want to spend time with people. I just don't. I want to be at my house. I want to be with my people. Those four. I want it to be quiet. But I promise you, fellowship and serving this season will bring you peace. I can promise that because the scripture promises that. Spend time with other believers, sharpening one another, breaking bread, sharing a meal, celebrating Christ together. It will bring you peace. We've gone to a few things this year. I'm not going to lie. Even driving there, I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to this. I want to be at home. But then I get there. You can ask my wife. Then driving home, I'm like, that was amazing. I feel so full now. Because that time, that fellowship was peace-giving and life-giving and serving others in need. I've said this a million times. I've probably said it from up here. It is impossible. It's been scientifically proven that you cannot focus on your own problems if you are focusing on other people's needs. It's been proven. You can't do the two things at the same time. You can't do it. And you can't have anxiety if you're truly in a state of gratitude. It occupies the same part of the brain. It's been proven. In God's amazing creation, He built us that way. So focus on others. Find an opportunity to serve. Fit it into your schedule. It will bless you in addition to blessing those that you're serving. Last one here and we'll close out. Reclaim peace through the glory of the Lord. Just like the shepherds and how they were singing. Psalm 138:5, and they shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Jumping right to practical. Find time to praise Him. Or just praise Him all the time. However you do that, however that makes sense, in worship, in singing, in more prayer, in scripture, in spending time with Him, in whatever, if you're driving, have a conversation. Praise Him. Find an opportunity this season to praise Him. Praise Him for your life. Praise Him for Christ. Praise Him for rescuing you. Praise Him for the mountain of blessings that we have in this country. Praise Him. Find an opportunity. Give thanks, focusing on gratitude. We can put these things into practice. Last series, through finances, Andy kept saying over and over again, I'm preaching this to myself because I need to hear these things. I promise you, that is me today. I am in a stressful season of life, not just calendar season, but just our family and some things that are going on. It is stressful. These words are for me. I need to do more of this. Because the times when I have, the peace is there. The promise always comes true. It's always fulfilled. And so I'm working to do these things more between now and the end of the year. So Mary and Joseph were put through a level of stress most of us will never experience. Certainly not in this country. And yet, in the end and all throughout, they received peace from the Lord. They fixed their eyes on Jesus, and they gave us a formula to emulate, to reclaim peace this season through the assurance of our salvation, practiced out through prayer and scripture, the obedience of our faith, loving God, serving others, actively loving God and serving others, and the glory of the Most High God, who loves you, who finds favor in you, and has placed the power of His Spirit in you. You have everything you need to reclaim peace this season. And that is my prayer for all of you, as a prayer for myself and my family. Practicing gratitude as we praise Him. So I'll leave you with one more play on words, because why not? I can't stress this enough. See what I did there? I can't stress this enough. Make Jesus the centerpiece, P-E-A-C-E, of your Christmas. Not in the background, not on the side, not on a sign in your house. I love that. That's amazing. We have them. Make Him the center above all else. Put Him first. Make time, room. No, make time and room for the other things in your devotion to the Lord. This season, put Him at the center, the Prince of Peace. Put Him as your centerpiece of Christmas. And I promise you, you'll feel it. Your problems won't go away, but it'll feel lighter. And you'll experience this season the way we were meant to. with joy and peace and comfort. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are awesome and wonderful and mighty beyond comprehension. We can't possibly fathom your greatness, Lord. I thank you for these truths. I thank you for Mary and Joseph, for what they went through, bringing forth the Savior of the world. I thank you for Jesus, Lord. I thank you for what it means for my life and the life of those in here who believe, who have submitted to the truth, the reality that Jesus is real. He was born and lived and died a sacrificial death so that we could all be free. I'm so thankful for that truth and that reality, Lord. I rebuke the stress of the season for everybody in here, especially those that are really in it, really in the valley, Lord. But we know that that's where you are with them, with all of us, Lord. And I thank you for that, that reassurance, that peace, and that comfort. I pray that it stays with us this season and beyond, Lord. I pray for an overwhelming peace as we all leave this building and out into the snow, into the driving, into shopping that's left, into the family situations. And if we keep you at the center, Lord, we know there will be peace. And I'm so thankful for that. Be with us the rest of this day and this week. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.